In that first year of the 20th century, the residents of Grand Rapids had the opportunity to see a sample of the newest entertainment marvel, the movies. And yeah, that is something. The first public showings of movies took place in Paris in 1895. And just as an attest to the enormous popularity of these moving pictures, well, here you can see them in Grand Rapids just 5 years later. Remarkable. Professor Blair arrived with his projection equipment and an Edison Biograph film featuring scenes from the Spanish-American War. Film was in its infancy, and there was no awareness in Grand Rapids that this new medium was to become the art form of the new century. Audiences were fascinated just to see these moving pictures and were quite uncritical as to content. The large group of people at the Village Hall was well pleased with the film, probably unaware that such Biograph presentations were generally staged reproductions of actual events. At any rate, the consensus was that Professor Blair should return with more films on his next expedition to the North, and he did that a couple of years later. And by 1905, 1906, looking at films in Grand Rapids was easy to do and done on a regular basis. Traveling circuses were a major entertainment of the day, and many people in Grand Rapids looked forward to the scheduled arrival of the great English-American syndicate show in August of 1900. An ad in the Herald Review featuring a yawning hippopotamus announced that America's greatest tented exhibition would come on its own palace railroad train for two shows, rain or shine, in an absolutely waterproof great tent. A huge monster menagerie of rare wild animals was promised, along with educated horses and the best arenic performers of Europe and America. There'd be a real Roman chariot race and a host of clowns to add facetious fun and frivolity. Well, the circus troupe arrived as scheduled, but authorities were soon alerted that members of the company had had a run-in with the law in Hubbard County. Law enforcement officers from there arrived in pursuit of the manager of the circus and several of his crew. According to newspaper accounts, the officers were more intent on lining their own pockets with circus money than on attending to any legitimate legal concerns, and they didn't get much cooperation from the Itasca law officials. As matters developed, a fracas at the Itasca County Courthouse involving the circus company, armed with pistols, bricks, coupling pins, and crowbars, and the Hubbard lawmen, supplied more entertainment in Grand Rapids than had the circus itself. Despite its claims, the great syndicate show, according to the Herald Review, didn't amount to a whole lot, for neither the concert nor the sideshow nor the menagerie nor the big tent had anything particularly amusing to display. The beauty and the recreational possibilities of surrounding woods and lakes were by no means ignored by the early residents of Grand Rapids. As stated in the magnet, nature has provided the most beautiful place on earth, all of it close to home. The Herald Review described nearby grandly beautiful Lake Pokegama as one of the prettiest bodies of water in the Northwest. The townspeople thoroughly appreciated the numerous bays and meandering handsome shores filled with many kinds of trees. The possibilities of attracting tourists to hunt, fish, and enjoy the scenic beauty of the countryside was just beginning to be realized. Early Grand Rapids residents had given top priority to surviving in the wilderness without much thought to bolstering the town's economic base through tourism. But in 1900, the Herald Review urged residents to consider erecting summer cottages for rent on the shores of Lake Pokegama. Judge Stilson, who owned several lots there, offered to build one or two such cottages if others would follow suit. The Herald Review pointed out that this is a matter worthy of the serious consideration of every businessman in Grand Rapids. 10 or 12 neat cottages at Pokegama would draw many outside visitors. A brochure published in Grand Rapids that year mentioned elegant hotels offering every comfort to be found at any of the famous Western resorts, and invited visitors to enjoy a cool, refreshing, invigorating, and helpful summer outing where nature is at her best. The beauty of Lake Pokegama was a strong enticement to those who lived in town. In a country still plagued by the worst of roads, the one that led to the lake was carefully maintained. Camping there was a favorite pastime, and boating was even more popular. Rowboats were available for rent, and small steamers carried passengers to explore the many nooks and bays. During the winter, sleighing was popular. One expedition in January of 1900, scheduled to begin at the Hotel Pokegama, provided much mirth for participants and bystanders when the horses took the bit in their teeth and bolted down the avenue, leaving would-be riders scattered along the wayside. But the horses were stopped and the riders regrouped, and they were off on what was described later as a jolly party. Ice skating was popular, both on lakes and prepared rinks, and was made especially enjoyable that January at a large masquerade skating party at the Grand Rapids rink. But above all, the hunting and fishing, which not long before had been important to the survival of the earlier citizens of Grand Rapids, now became its major recreational attraction. Fishing on Lake Pokegama was consistently good. A 25-pound lake trout caught there in 1895 held the national size record for the species for many years. The cool, clear waters of the lakes of Itasca County were rightly extolled as the source of the finest freshwater fish in the world. No longer required as a staple, fish still constituted a prominent part of the diet of many in Grand Rapids. For the hunter, ducks and geese and partridge were plentiful, but the abundance of large game was most alluring. Wildlife writer F.J. Smith came to Grand Rapids to visit with local hunters and fishermen and explore the sportsman scene firsthand. And in a Western Field and Stream magazine article, he compared Itasca County and the state of Maine in regard to hunting and fishing. Smith pointed out that hunters in the eastern state had to travel long distances over logging roads, and once at the point of departure, they needed a week's time to get to and from the choicest hunting grounds. In Minnesota, he assured readers, hunters could breakfast on liver and bacon in St. Paul, take the train to Grand Rapids, and that same evening eat moose of your own killing at your campfire in the beautiful woods just north of town. Moose and deer browse with an abandon and impudence that is simply astounding, he wrote. And that, too, almost within the very limits of Grand Rapids. Even caribou could be seen not too many miles from town during the winter months. Smith was impressed by the sight of a good-sized black bear hanging outside a Grand Rapids butcher shop, and he had verification from Hubert Powers, a man whose reputation cannot be questioned, of the abundance of smaller game and fish. The visitor was enraptured by the beauty of the region and thought that although steeper canyons and loftier peaks could be found elsewhere, one would be hard-pressed to find scenery more appealing than that of Lake Pokegama, surrounded with spruce and perfumed with wild flowers. Smith concluded that if all of Maine were condensed into a single county and placed next to Itasca County for judgment as a sportsman's paradise, the state would hardly merit a certificate of commendation. There would be scarcely a game animal or bird for which Itasca County couldn't show 10 for Maine's one, and the fish in Maine seemed like minnows in comparison to those of Itasca County. Very nice recognition for the beginnings of the tourism industry in Grand Rapids. And we'll still continue with more on 1900 Grand Rapids next time.